Okay, I want to start today by putting you in a very specific, very stressful headspace.
All right, I'm ready.
Forget the office, forget your commute. I want you to imagine you are a project manager on a heavy industrial site. It's loud, jackhammers, diesel engines, people shouting.
Yeah, I can picture it. There's dust everywhere.
Dust coating your teeth, and you are staring at a bridge component that weighs 60 tons.
60 tons. Okay. That is
It's a
substantial.
beast of a job.
That is not something you move with a couple of guys in a rope.
No, exactly. And here's the constraint that defines your entire existence in this moment. You have a 48-hour window to lift this thing, secure it, and get out.
Just 2 days.
2 days. If you miss that window, the project timeline collapses, penalties kick in, and you are having a very, very bad year.
A classic critical path scenario. The stakes are effectively, don't mess this up.
Right. So here's the dilemma, and this is really what we're unpacking today. You need this high-end, specialized hydraulic equipment to make the lift safely. So do you go out and spend a huge chunk of your budget buying this gear, knowing that after Friday, it's just going to sit in a warehouse gathering dust for, what, 5 years?
Or you try to make do with what you have, which is dangerous.
Which is dangerous, and that's the classic asset trap.
It's a gamble that happens on job sites every single day.
And so today we're looking at a stack of documents about a company called Kiloton. They're a South African company, big players in the industrial rental space.
Specifically with Enerpec Hydraulics, which is a big name.
A very big name. And while industrial rental sounds, maybe a little dry, the logic here is actually a fascinating case study in economics and, surprisingly, in physics.
It really is. I think people assume the whole rent versus buy question is just simple math.
Right.
You know, like cost of tool minus rental fee equals savings. But when you dig into these source materials, you realize that the math is actually the least interesting part.
So what's the real story then?
The real story is about risk.
Okay, but let's start with the money though, just to kind of get it out of the way. Because there is a clear distinction here between CapEx and OpEx.
Right, capital expenditure versus operating expense. In the corporate world, this is a huge, huge distinction. If you buy that 60-ton lifting system, that's CapEx.
You're locking up cash.
You're taking capital right out of the business and locking it into a piece of steel.
Which, if I'm that project manager, probably feels good for about a week. Look at this shiny new tool I own.
Sure, until you look at the utilization rate. I mean, if you use it for that 2-day bridge lift and then it sits for 2 years, your utilization is a fraction of 1%.
And that's capital that could have been used to hire people or improve safety or.
Or bid on new jobs. Instead, it's literally just sitting on a shelf.
It's dead money, as the courses call it.
Precisely. And it's not just debt, it's costing you money. You're paying for the warehouse space to store it.
The insurance on it.
Insurance. And on the balance sheet, that asset is depreciating. It's losing value every single day, just sits there.
So the kiloton model and the rental model in general, it's about converting that heavy, inefficient CapEx into a very specific, targeted OpEx.
You pay for the lift, not the cylinder.
Exactly.
And that's the low-hanging fruit of the argument. It makes sense. Any accountant could tell you that. What I found much more compelling in this reading was the engineering argument against ownership.
This is where it gets dangerous.
This is where things get actually dangerous.
And this is the part that surprised me. Because in my head, a hydraulic cylinder is just this big hunk of steel. If I buy it, use it, put it on a shelf, nothing happens to it, right? It's not like a banana, it doesn't rot.
See, that is the dangerous assumption. To the naked eye, a steel cylinder looks exactly the same today as it will in 5 years.
But inside.
Inside, it's a different story. And the source material highlights a really specific vulnerability here. The
The
seals.
little rubber seals inside the mechanism.
Right. High-pressure hydraulics rely on these precision seals to hold the fluid. Now, if you leave that equipment sitting in a warehouse, maybe it's not climate controlled, maybe it freezes in the winter and bakes in the summer, that rubber degrades.
It dries out.
It dries out. It becomes brittle.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a second. A brittle seal sounds like a maintenance annoyance, like a leaky faucet. Why does the source material treat this like a life or death situation?
Because of the pressure. We have to contextualize what high pressure really means in this industry.
Right.
Most people hear hydraulics and think of what may be a car jack, a bicycle pump.
Or the tires on my car.
Exactly. Your car tires are sitting at what? Maybe 2 or 3 bar of pressure?
Yeah, around 30, 35 PSI, which is, yeah, roughly 2 bar.
Standard industrial hydraulics, the kind Kiloterm deals with, operated 700 bar.
700. 700 bar.
So we are talking about hundreds of times the pressure that's in a car tire. It is an immense amount of stored energy. Now think about it. If a seal fails at 2 bar, you get a hiss of air.
Right.
If seal fails at 700 bar, you don't get a leak. You get a catastrophic release of energy.
That's basically an explosion.
It can be. Or, equally terrifying, you get a sudden total loss of lifting force.
Oh, wow.
So imagine you have that 60-ton bridge component hovering 3 feet in the air. You've got a crew working underneath it, maybe aligning bolts. If that seal, which looked totally fine on the shelf, gives way.
That 60 tons comes down instantly.
Instantly.
That is a terrifying image. And the scary part is, as the owner of that equipment, you have no way of knowing that seal is bad until you put the load on it.
Unless you have a test bench. And this is where we get to the core concept of this whole deep dive. Risk transfer.
Explain that. Because it sounds a bit like insurance jargon, but it seems to be the main product here.
It is the main product.
Yeah.
When you rent from a specialist like Kiloterm, you aren't just paying for the metal, you're paying for the certification.
For the peace of mind.
For the peace of mind. They have the test benches. They have the certified technicians who strip that cylinder down. They check every seal. They pressure test it to 100% capacity, and they certify it before it ever leaves their yard.
So when it arrives at my muddy construction site, I know it works.
You know it works because someone else, an expert, has bet their reputation on it working. You are literally transferring the risk of equipment failure from your shoulders to theirs.
You know, the source material used an analogy about aviation that I thought was pretty sharp.
The private jet versus commercial airline one?
Yeah. The idea that if I own a private plane, I'm responsible for everything. The mechanics, the tires, the pilot's training, the fuel quality.
Right. If you screw any of that up, the plane goes down and it's on you.
It's on me. Whereas if you buy a ticket on a commercial flight, you are outsourcing all of that anxiety.
You don't check the tires before you board a 747.
No. You trust the system,
yeah.
You focus on where you're going, and you let the airline focus on how to keep the plane in the air.
So in this scenario, the project manager focuses on the bridge.
And Kiloterm focuses on the physics of the lift.
That is the essence of risk transfer. And in today's world, a litigious, safety-conscious world, that peace of mind is probably worth more than the rental fee itself.
But there's another layer to this expert value. It isn't just about the tool working. It's about knowing which tool to use in the first place.
Oh, absolutely.
I was looking through the equipment list in the source documents. It's massive.
It is overwhelming. It's like one of those giant restaurant menus.
It's the menu problem, exactly. There are hundreds of cylinders, hollow plungers, aluminum, steel, low profile, high tonnage. If I'm a generalist project manager, I might just look at that and say, give me the biggest one. Better safe than sorry.
Which is the layman's trap. Bigger isn't always better. Sometimes bigger is impossible. Or sometimes it's just technically wrong for the application.
The sources mentioned a specific technical distinction that I think illustrates this perfectly. Single acting versus double acting cylinders.
Yes, this is a classic trap for the uninitiated.
So break that down for us, because to me, a cylinder goes up and it comes down. What's the difference?
So a single acting cylinder uses hydraulic fluid to push the plunger out. That's your lift. But to get the plunger back in, to retract it, it relies on gravity or an internal spring.
It needs weight on top of it to push it back down.
Exactly.
Okay, so it pushes up and the load pushes it back down. Simple enough.
Simple, until you try to use it horizontally or until you need precise control on the way down. If you are using a single acting cylinder to push something sideways and then you need to retract the tool to reset.
Oh.
It won't retract. There's no gravity to help you. You are literally stuck. You have a 50-ton jack extended, jamming your project, and you have no way to get it out without, like, physically hammering it or prying it, which is incredibly dangerous under load.
And a double-acting cylinder.
A double-acting cylinder has hydraulic ports on both ends. You pump fluid to push it out, and you pump fluid to pull it back in.
So you have total control.
Total control in both directions.
Mm-hmm. See, that is the kind of detail that could absolutely ruin a project if you don't know it. If I'm buying, I might buy the cheaper single acting one and not realize my mistake until I'm stuck.
But if you're renting, presumably the consultant stops you.
Right.
And that's the key. Kiloterm moves the conversation from transaction to consultation. They don't just ask, what do you want to rent? They ask, what are you trying to do? And that simple question saves projects.
Speaking of saving projects, I want to talk about the flat cylinder. This was highlighted in the text as a specific problem solver, and I just loved the visual of it.
The pancake jack. It's a brilliant piece of engineering.
Set the scene for why this thing is even necessary.
Okay, so imagine you have a massive piece of machinery, maybe a transformer or a generator, that's been sitting on a concrete foundation for 20 years. It weighs 80 tons.
And you need to lift it.
You need to replace the vibration pads underneath it. But the machine is sitting almost flush on the concrete. There's maybe a 20-millimeter gap.
So a normal jack won't fit.
A standard bottle jack is, what, 10 inches tall? You can't get anything under there.
So normally, what do? Jackhammer the floor.
You'd have to destroy the foundation to dig a pit for the jack, or you'd have to bring in a massive gantry crane to lift it from above, which could mean taking the roof off the building.
You're turning a one-day job into a two-week nightmare.
A nightmare. But enter the flat cylinder. It's an ultra-thin, high-strength steel wafer. It's designed specifically to slide into those tiny gaps.
A heavy steel pancake.
A heavy steel pancake that can lift 80 tons. But the engineering required to make something that thin, capable of that kind of tonnage, is significant.
Because the pressure inside that little puck must be just immense.
It's incredible. But because you have access to that specialized inventory, you just slide it in, hook up the pump, and pop the machine up.
Mm-hmm.
Job done. You didn't have to buy a specialized tool you'll never use again. You just rented the solution to your specific geometry problem.
It really highlights that you aren't renting a tool, you're renting a solution. But I want to zoom out a bit. We've been talking about the gear, but Kiloton is based in South Africa. And the sources mention them servicing projects all over sub-Saharan Africa.
The logistics aspect is huge here.
Yeah, they mention Zambia, Lesotho, remote mining operations. This is not just driving a van across town.
No. And this brings us right back to reliability. If you are running a mine in rural Zambia, you are geographically isolated. If a piece of equipment goes down, you can't just run to the hardware store.
The downtime cost must be astronomical.
It's millions. If a mine shaft lift stops working, production stops. Every hour counts. So when Kiloton sends a hydraulic system up to Zambia, the logistics of getting it there is one thing.
Crossing borders, customs, rough terrain.
All of that. But the product isn't the delivery.
The product is the certainty.
Exactly. The product is the absolute certainty that when you crack that crate open in the middle of nowhere, the equipment works perfectly. Because if it leaks, if a seal is dry, you aren't just annoyed, you're in a crisis.
So the certified safety and the testing we talked about earlier isn't just a safety feature, it's an economic necessity for these remote projects.
It's the only thing that matters. The rental cost is a rounding error compared to the cost of failure.
The source material has this slogan that I think sums it all up. Maximizing uptimes, minimizing downtimes, from acquisition to decommission.
It sounds corporate, but when you apply it to a mine in Zambia, it feels pretty literal.
It's a promise.
It's a promise. And it requires a very specific business model to keep that promise. You need that centralized brain in South Africa where the expertise lives, supporting these remote limbs.
It's an interesting philosophy. It's almost a form of humility for the project managers.
How do you mean?
Well, there's a tendency, especially in construction and heavy industry, to want to own everything, to be the master of your domain. I have the tools, I can do it all.
Right, that kind of self-sufficient mindset.
But this model requires admitting, I'm good at building bridges, but I am not an expert in hydraulic fluid dynamics.
That is a very powerful insight. The smartest people in the room are usually the ones who know exactly what they don't know.
Right, it's knowing when to say, I'm going to let the experts handle the pressure, literally, and I'll handle the project.
And that applies way beyond construction.
I was just thinking that. We've spent this time talking about 700 bar pressure in steel pancakes, but the concept of risk transfer is something we probably don't use enough in our regular lives.
I think everyone has dusty cylinders in their life.
Oh, absolutely. Think about the things you insist on doing yourself. Maybe it's your own taxes or fixing your own car or, I don't know, managing your own IT setup for your small business.
You do it because you think you're saving money. You think, I can just buy the software and do it myself.
But are you checking the seals?
Exactly. Are you keeping up with the tax code changes? Are you patching the security vulnerabilities? Or are you just letting that skill sit on a shelf, degrading until the day you really need it and it blows up in your face?
That's the asset trap of skills. We hoard responsibilities because we want to feel capable, but we end up holding a lot of risk that we aren't qualified to manage.
And when the pressure hits, when the audit comes or the server crashes, That's your 700 bar moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been maintaining that skill every single day like a professional,
it's going to fail.
It's going to fail.
So the lesson from the hydraulic rental market is don't be afraid to rent the expertise.
Outsource the worry. Let someone else carry the risk so you can focus on the job you're actually meant to be doing.
I like that. Check your mental warehouse, everyone. If there's something sitting under a tarp that hasn't been used in 2 years, maybe it's time to get rid of it and call an expert.
Check your seals.
Always. Thanks for diving in with us on this one. It's amazing what you can learn from a rental catalog if you read between the lines.
It was a pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive. Stay safe out there.